Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Jesus illustrated great truths with human interest stories. One of them involved a wealthy man who turned over his estate to three men, entrusting each one with a certain amount of wealth. Today we use dollars, yen, pesos, or euros, depending on who has issued the currency, to measure wealth. But in Jesus' day, the unit of measurement was a talent. Our English word for talent is actually a transliteration of the Greek word, the one Jesus used, which was talenton. A single talent in Roman days represented the equivalent of a working man's salary for a period of 15 years. Thus, a talent represented a lot of money in any currency. The story found in Matthew 25 in the New Testament is poignant and disturbing at the same time. The two who doubled their investments were commended, but the third, who cowering with fear dug a hole and buried his talent, was rebuked. "Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth," said the wealthy landowner, using terminology applied to those who are sent to hell. A story such as this always has a deeper meaning, a truth which Jesus wanted us to see clearly. So, what's disturbing about this? He is saying that God claims ownership of all that we have, and that someday we will be held accountable for what we do with what God has given to us. The reality is that few people ever acknowledge that what we have, whether it is money which we can spend or invest, time which we can use wisely or waste, or talents which can make a big difference in our world, can be used selfishly, dig a hole and bury them, or we can use it for God. We can use it or waste it, but once it's gone, it can never be recovered. Earlier Jesus had taught, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Whenever a bank gets into trouble, depositors get alarmed quickly. Rumors breed fear. Long lines of people will form outside the bank, which can quickly turn into mobs who want to get into the bank and get their money. There's no question where their treasure is. When the stock market crashes, some, not being able to handle the loss of their money, end up taking their lives. For them, life ends when the treasure is dissipated. But for those who have treasures in heaven, they are not subject to the foibles, the ups and downs of the economy, and the ravages of corporate executives who sometimes are more efficient than bank robbers who walk in and announce, "Hands up, it's a holdup." How do you invest in heaven's bank? A retired schoolteacher began literacy classes for immigrants. A doctor began by going overseas twice a year, giving his time for 2 weeks at a time. A businessman began supporting ministries overseas. Another began using his financial know-how to help couples struggling with money. A teenager began working with kids after school. A retired couple began collecting aluminum cans, converting scrap into money for Russian Bibles. Investing in heaven's bank goes far beyond dropping money in the offering plate at church or mailing a check to your favorite charity. It involves your time, your talents, and your resources.
You've just heard Dr. Harold Saleh with Guidelines for Living. If you'd like to listen to the program again, download a copy, subscribe to our devotional, or view other resources, visit guidelines.org. We would like to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@guidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again for the next edition of Guidelines.